Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm very honored to have Brierly Long with me. Hey, Brierly.
Hi.
All right, we are on Zoom, so apologies for the audio quality. Don't blame us. Blame the Zoom Corporation. Although, I guess we shouldn't be too mad at them because they allow us to connect so easily. And if we talk over each other, it's because the micro delay of Zoom. Brierly and I are very respectful of each other, and we're not going to talk over each other in our world, but in the recording, sometimes there's a little delay. So anyway, if you want to learn all about Brierly, you're a super talented person with a fascinating, in fact, one of the greatest life stories I've heard. She's lived all around the world. She's a global citizen. So listen to the podcast before this one, and you'll learn all about Brierly and her life and the films she's made, particularly the film Homologies. I met Brierly at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival last November because Homologies was an official selection that won the Audience Award for Best Short Film Drama and the Programmer's Prize for Exceptional Filmmaking. So
that's
an actual applause, double award-winning film at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. So yeah, listen to the podcast before this one to learn all about that, because this podcast is supposed to be fun. It's a four questions episode, which means Brierly will answer these four questions. Name three favorite films, name an underrated film, name an overrated film, and name a lesser known film that people should seek out. Based upon the fact that you've lived all around the world and didn't grow up with TV, I am very curious to hear your answers. So you want to jump right in?
Okay, so first one was three of my favorite films.
Yeah.
Okay. I love The Godfather and E.T. and When Harry Met Sally.
That's a nice balance. A family film, a grown-up one of the classic rom-coms, and of course, The Godfather.
Yeah.
I love that you said the first one too. All right. Excellent. Nice night's breath. Second question. I should comment more, but I don't know. I'm going to let it go.
And the second question was...
Was a film that is underrated.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make a personal plug and say my film Sayonara is underrated because it was the first film in the world to star a real android robot. It's a feature. And there's been a bunch of movies in Hollywood that have, like, you know, an idea of a robot or, you know, an actor pretending to be a robot. It's kind of a fascination right now. But none of those ones actually had the real deal, and we did. And we did even before this became quite trendy. So, that for me, it was kind of, it's interesting, like, when you do things that are really groundbreaking, how sometimes they go unnoticed and then they kind of are the beginning of a trend. So it was, I mean, Sayonara played in competition at Tokyo International Film Festival and Rotterdam, which are very, very well curated and very cool and artistic festivals. But we didn't get into Sundance. Within the next few years, I kept seeing all these films that were like about, you know, an android robot or something that had an actor playing that android robot. I'm like, why didn't you take our film? Like, we've got, you know, we actually had the real deal for you. Underrated film that more of the world should know about.
Right. So they should find Sayonara directed by Koji
Fukada. Exactly. Right. Yep.
And when you say you acted opposite an actual
Android robot.
Like not a person.
No, it's an actual robot that looks exactly like a human.
So they developed that robot.
Collaborated with the University of Osaka, their robotics research center. So there's this really brilliant and slightly mad scientist in Japan called Hiroshi Ishiguro, who made a robot replica of himself. And then he made robot replicas of other people that look very, very eerily human. And the theater company I was working with in Japan had the idea to put this robot on stage opposite me. And it was quite interesting because when we first did the play in Japan, there was, you know, this Japanese looking robot, very human like robot. And then this white person, you know, white blonde girl speaking Japanese. And so at the end of the play, the audience, like, they didn't want to leave the theater because they were really confused about which of us was the robot, you know, because they thought, surely it must be the blonde girl who is speaking perfect Japanese who's the robot. And then, you know, even when we would perform the play in other places, like sometimes people would stick around and they're like, we're waiting for the robot actress to leave stage. And we're like, no, she's not a robot actress. She is a real robot. And so that's the robot that we had for our film as well.
Fascinating. I'm dying to see this. Is it on a streamer or how do we hunt it down?
That's a good question. Something I need to figure out.
Justwatch.com, I think, tends to be one way to find things. All right. Well, hey, I promise when we get off, I'll do a quick search and see if we can link it in the show notes. But all right. Well, the third question is an overrated film.
Barbie. I won't go too deep into it, but I'm not a fan of that script, and I do not think that it's a film that really has a lot of female empowerment to it. The female empowerment aspect of it to me feels a little bit tokenistic. But you know, they did great in the box office, so I'm happy for them. I definitely, I think that's an achievement in itself, but they did also have a huge marketing budget. So, you know,
how dare you? No, I'm kidding. I completely support you. I had the same experience and I kind of watched it and I said, you know what? I am glad that a film that ambitious managed to sneak through the studio system and almost make the point it wanted to make, but then it still felt super male dominated and it felt, I had a lot of problems with Barbie, but I'm glad it was made and I'm glad it kicked ass and made money. And, you know, hey, I'm a jerk who thinks that most of the Hollywood films, I think most of the blockbusters are not wonderful films. So I am very happy that a film I don't consider wonderful showed that the gender of the director does not determine its success.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I think that's the thing is like, I do think it's important for women directors to be empowered and it's great if women directors are making money, you know, and showing people that that's possible. I also don't think that there only has to be like, you know, I think there's space for many more women directors to emerge with many, many different stories to tell. And so, you know, the fact that Barbie wasn't nominated for best director, I don't think that that's inherently like, you know, anti-feminist or whatever that, or sexist move. I think that, you know, films should still also be evaluated on their quality and filmmaking.
No, I mean, all the best directors, all the most successful directors, you know, rarely get that nod when you make.
Yeah.
Just a really, yeah. So absolutely.
And also like, case in point, I love Edgar Wright's movies and I don't think he's ever gotten a Oscar nomination. Has he?
I don't think so. No, he'll have to someday do a period piece instead of something incredibly smart and fun. Smart and fun. Just Hollywood is like, no, that's not Oscar material.
Well, I did love Oppenheimer, so I was pretty happy.
I did love it too. I was glad that it won. Although not that I saw the competition, but I'm with you on Barbie. But honestly, I loved a lot of it. I did think the horrible snub was the lead actress.
Oh, the producer of Barbie that she should have been nominated for best actress or?
Yeah. Well, the woman who played Barbie, the main.
Yes.
Why am I blanking on her name? She's like the biggest star in the world. I'm glad you're blanking too. Name.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Margot
Robbie. She was so great in I, Tonya.
She was great in that too.
Yeah.
But she handled the comedy. She held that film could have fallen apart without someone of her skill and ability. So shame on them for giving all the credit to the dude who was window dressing. But anyway, question number four could have been your sayonara, but a lesser known film that people should seek out.
Well, okay. I'm going to make another shameless plug here. Because this one, I do know that it's available on Amazon is, Hospitalité by Koji Fukada as well. And that's the very first film I ever acted in. And it's a really fun kind of like family comedy, like dark comedy, set in downtown Tokyo, in a little printing shop. It's short and sweet, which I think is like great in feature films, much against the trend of Hollywood right now. I like films that are like closer to the 90-minute mark, which I think Hospitalité is. So yeah. I recommend, and also it's comedy, which is also a nice.
Excellent. And it's just, and people can find it on Amazon Prime Video. Just search for Hospitality 2010 from Japan.
Exactly.
The year is 2010. Normally, sometimes the year helps you find it if there's more than one Hospitality. Wonderful. All right. That was fun.
Yes.
Just like you like a feature film that maybe keeps itself to 90 minutes, although we both loved Oppenheimer, a little more than 90 minutes, but.
Yeah, I mean, it with both Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon, both of which I enjoyed very much, at one point I was like, why didn't they just make this into a TV show? Like, it would have been a great limited series, you know? I think somewhere past the two-hour mark, I was like, we need at the very least an intermission here. Like, why? That was my big feeling with Killers of the Flower Moon, is like, how are cinemas meant to stay alive and keep, like, you know, making money if people program 3.5-hour long movies and they don't even put in an intermission? At least if you put in an intermission in there, then the movie theaters can make some money because people go buy more popcorn or whatever. And but yeah,
that's very true that it is commercially limiting. Plus, they only get like one viable screening per night.
Yep.
Because that 8 p.m. goes all the way to 11. So it's not like you can have a 7 and a 10 or something. Yeah. Yeah. That's genuine logistical problems with Scorsese forgetting how to edit. But I'll give Nolan a pass because I do think Oppenheimer, yeah, might have been amazing, you know, 6 1-hour episode, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the funny, it is the meme is true that I've seen that says, like, you want me to watch a 3-hour movie? F off. Oh, you want me to binge 8 1-hour episodes all in one night? I'll do it.
But you can go get ice cream, you know, that's the thing.
You can, like, you don't have to pause and.
Yeah, like, that's the thing is with, like, I was so hungry when I got to the end of Killers of the Flower Moon, and I felt terrible because it was a screening where Lily Gladstone was there, and she did an incredible job, and I really wanted to see her speak, but I was just too hangry. I had to go get food.
Hangry is one of my favorite words. No, and I, I'm with you. I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I will do the closing spiel, which is, if you want to learn all about Brierley and her work, there will be clickable links for her website, BrierleyLong.com, and her social media. And if you want to learn more about the film she directed, that is how I met Brierley at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, just go to homologiesshortfilm.com, also a clickable link. And I will get us out of here by thanking everyone for listening to the Discover Indie Film Podcast, where we talk to the coolest, most promising people on the festival circuit. You can learn more if you go to discoverindiefilm.com, and it's at DIFWINS on social media. There is a TV series that was born out of this podcast because everyone I talked to with a feature talked about streaming, and everyone I talked to with a short said, well, it's on YouTube and my website. And I was like, and one of those indie filmmakers told me about Amazon Prime Video Direct. So I said to 25 people with shorts, you want to put all your shorts together into a TV series? And it turned into 10 half-hour episodes, and we've got 7 seasons on there. And it's great. It's great. It used to be included with Prime, and that's back when we got up to almost like we broke the level of 10,000 unique viewers per week. And that's when Amazon said, hey, you can't be included with Prime anymore. You've got to charge 99 cents an episode or $7.99 a season. So it killed the viewership at that level, but I can honestly say to you, dear listener, if you're listening to me right now, $7.99 to watch 10 episodes that is like 20 to 25 indie shorts that people made out of just pure passion. You are supporting indie filmmakers. That's $8 is like a third of a movie ticket at this stage. So not too bad to support indie filmmakers that way. That said, I will move on to, I already mentioned Sherman Oaks Film Festival. We hold it every November. You can learn more at shermanoaksff.com, and it's at shermanoaksff on social media. Sister Festival every June is Film Invasion Los Angeles. You can learn more at filminvasionla.com, and it's at filminvasionla on social media. And the last thing to mention is Watch TV High. If you go to watchtvhigh.com or at Watch TV High on social media, you'll learn about a new streaming platform called TV High. It's on, did I name them? I don't think I named them in the last one podcast that we recorded, which is it's on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Android TV, Android Mobile, and iPhone, iPad. And just search for TVHI and download that app. Check out superb indie stuff that is great to watch no matter how your brain is feeling. But if you do enjoy cannabis responsibly, I always say responsibly, I have friends in recovery. If you can enjoy cannabis responsibly, then Watch TV High. It's kind of made for you and mine, but but it really is. It's great for everybody. It's really great for everybody. I'm so apologetic. See, I grew up in the era where drugs were so illicit that I still haven't adjusted to the fact that, like, it's just like having a beer now.
Well, I lived in Japan for so long where drugs are still super illicit. So I'm a very, like, drug-free person. And it was interesting when I first came to L.A. and I was at a party and some people were, like, doing cocaine. And I was like, are they doing cocaine? I've never seen this. Not that I did it, but because I still plan to work in Japan, and that can be like a career ender in Japan. Can you believe it? Actually, there was one of the actors from Parasite recently committed suicide because he was found with some marijuana, and that was going to be the end of his career.
Unbelievable. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh boy. Well, I won't go on my spiel about alcohol versus cannabis, but I can say that if you're near a college campus and you see a car window smashed in, do you think it was done by a drunk or a stoner? And I will end my argument there. All right. Briarly, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.